Hello, Freedom Nation. And for those of you listening to this probably a few months down the road, welcome to Exit Rich, Retire Free. So just a quick little reminder for those of you that have been listening to shows over the last couple of weeks, we are going to be splitting the Freedom Nation podcast into two shows. We've known for a long time that we've had an audience of folks that are sitting at home or sitting in a cubicle somewhere, or they're business owners that are trying to figure out how to get themselves out of the worst prison that they've ever been in, that they concocted themselves. But we also, you know, a big part of my life is helping business owners exit their businesses. And so the podcast wasn't serving both audiences, so we really needed to make that split. So today's guests actually are going to be a really good example of this. Larry and Sue Pruitt, they are owners of businesses. They've run businesses for over 20 years, went from working a job to being able to transition into working businesses, and they just sold a business and are embarking on a new journey, which we're going to talk about today with them. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back on in just 1 second.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation Podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Larry and Sue, how are you?
We're great, Jeff. Thanks so much for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So great to have you on. For the audience, I think most everybody knows that I work with my wife. We own multiple businesses and own a business where we work together. And so we basically spend 24 hours a day together and miraculously have done that for almost 12 years without killing each other. Larry and Sue really have a business that helps couples learn how to work together and build businesses together. So guys, why don't you share a little bit about your story and tell us how you got to where you're at today?
Yeah, it was actually interesting. We started working together in a day job together back when we were first married. Yeah. So
nice.
So if you go all the way back, we've been married for 30
Sounds
years.
Sounds like the same stretch. Yeah. Same thing for me. So this is hilarious.
Oh, that's kind of great. Yes.
And at some point, somebody asked you the question there.
Oh yeah. Somebody looked at me that day, one day at work, and just said, "Don't you guys ever get a break from each other?" And I remember thinking, why would I want a break from him? I'm married to him. You know, I'm looking forward to spending the rest of my life with him. So we've since encountered folks who perhaps sometimes struggle a little bit with figuring out how to navigate those waters. And that is one of the things that we help couples do now. But even that far back, it became really important to us to be a good example of what a godly marriage looks like, to be a good example of, and eventually we got the chance to show the world and to show our children that there's more than one way to do life. And we morphed into full-time entrepreneurs a little over 12 years ago and have walked quite a path there. So, as far as how we got to where we are today, we went through, we were e-commerce sellers on the side first, then full-time. In the process of that, we began to coach people how to do an e-com selling business. And in the process of that, we worked with a lot of couples, and the Lord just really has laid it on our hearts to really make that the focus of our next business. And so that's what we're building up right now.
Well, and you've got that kind of e-commerce background, so it sounds like you're able to, you know the repetitions that it takes to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we started, it was kind of funny because I don't think this exists anymore, but when we first started our business, I was working full-time about 30 hours a week.
Okay.
I don't think anybody has a 30-hour-a-week full-time job anymore.
No.
But that was 21 years ago, and I literally had some time on my hands, and we just had our fourth out of five children, and Sue was very busy with the kids and homeschooling and such. And I thought we could use a little bit of more money, but there's no way she's going to be able to do this. So we just started as a side hustle, selling things on eBay. And, and then whenever it became time where, you know, you talk about somebody sitting in a cubicle dying just a little bit, that was me. And so at some point we decided that I need to go full time with something else. Really, at that point, I don't know that we knew that it was going to be full time as entrepreneurs, but we said, let's say, you know, we gave it a good runway. I think we planned for a good year or so. We saved up. There's a whole story behind all that. We saved money. We saved up other non-perishable things and such in the house. And then decided we're going to take this leap. And we had 6 months of money in the bank, 6 months of expenses in the bank. And we just thought, let's try this for 6 months and see how it goes. And we came down.
Worst case scenario, you have to get a job again.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. We don't forget to mention, we also had 6 months worth of toilet paper.
Okay. Well, hey, you guys could have sold that during the pandemic. Exactly. So this would have been.
If we'd only held on to it.
This was pre-pandemic. That was not our fault. The run on the toilet paper was not our fault.
Yeah. That was not you. Yeah. But you were prepared no matter what.
Yes, we were. Yes.
And so again, at that stage, a family of seven. So that was a lot of toilet paper. It was stacked everywhere in the house, underneath the beds and everything. And so then, you know, about the 4 or 5 month mark, we sat down, we analyzed the budget, the numbers were like, we think we're okay for another like 3 or 4 months, whatever. Okay. And we just kept extending that runway and now it's approaching 12 and a half years. So, so that was kind of the process that we went through to transition.
Well, but I think, you know, the very unique thing that you're saying is, you know, one of the things that we preach in the Freedom Day method and, you know, what we talk about, you know, when I work with people and when I write books and all that, one of the things that I stress is, you know, you don't have to replace, let's say $120,000 a year job if you're able to live on, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 a month.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what, you know, what we call the minimum required income. So you figured out, okay, this is our minimum required income, went crazy with toilet paper apparently, and everything else. But I mean, that allowed you to have that much lower nut that you had to cover every month, which gave you that ability. But I like what you were doing where you're saying, okay, well, all right, we made another 3 months. Let's look and see what our runway is, you know, because it's just too easy to get in over your head. And then so many people get in over their head and then they realize, well, okay, I'm going to have to close this business. Mm-hmm. You guys always could have gone, you know what? I just need to go get a part-time gig to cover the nut and keep the business running at that point. So I love that.
Yeah. And we have done that actually. There was in 2018, we just kind of had a mixture of all these, the kind of the perfect storm, some different things happened, some health issues with me and we had not built out a team yet. That was, that was a big,
lesson
that we learned. Yeah. It was building out a team. And so it was a full-time temporary position that lasted for about 3 weeks, but it literally, it covered our expenses for about 6 months.
Perfect.
It was crazy how the income kind of was recurring a little bit for a while there. And we were able to use some of our other skills of selling online and such during that time. So,
And it was basically, it was another runway. So, you know,
You
don't necessarily only have to do that once. And you've got to be creative as an entrepreneur. Yeah. And so that's what we've done. That's how
now,
we survived.
Have you, had you guys, as you were growing your business, did you start to bring in like other sources of income or other, you know, so you weren't just relying on that one source of income?
Yes.
Did you kind of broaden out?
Yes. In fact, as we, so part of that was selling on different platforms. That's one way to diversify. But the other way that we did was we began to teach other people how to do what we were doing and we earned income that way. And in the process of doing that, we coached a lot of couples who were starting their own business. And that's really kind of what gave us the launch into what we're doing now, melding that marriage and business together and helping married couples build their dream business. So
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So let's talk a little bit about what you ended up having to do to go from, hey, we're building this e-commerce business to the point where you were able to take that e-commerce business and sell it to somebody. Mm-hmm. What were some of the steps you took to get to that point?
Yeah. So we took, you always want things to be like this beautiful stair-stepping process.
Never that.
And it certainly was not like that for us. So there was a lot of back and forth with it, but we went from, like, honestly, whenever I came home from my day job, I had been managing people and I was like, I don't want to manage anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want,
I'm selling online for a reason. I don't want to have to actually talk to or see anybody.
just me and my laptop, mm-hmm. And again, that was a mistake. And so we did end up building out a team. I think we had at one point, everybody was part-time except for us. I think we had a team of about 10 or 11 people at one time.
Okay.
We learned that we needed to get things out of our house because, product would come in, product would go out, but it was overwhelming the house. Mm-hmm. And so we got a small little space that we rented, used it as a warehouse.
Nice.
We've had all of our kids involved at some level during their years that they were at home. 4 out of the 5 have moved out of the house now, but all of the kids were involved to help out.
Great way to learn business skills too early on.
Yes,
absolutely.
They got to ride the roller coaster with us, which was helpful for them as well.
Absolutely was. I think I said this earlier, that part of the reason that we went into full-time entrepreneurship was because we wanted to show our kids that there's more than one way to do life. 9 to 5 is great, but there's this other way that you can do it too, if you want to. And so we showed them that. And our kids have, as Larry said, we have 5 of them. Some of them are entrepreneurial, some of them are not, and that's fine. But they've all experienced sides.
They all knew it. Yeah, that's the cool part, is they all got to, they all got to see it. And it's not for everybody. I mean, that's beautiful, because Even if they work for somebody else, though, they have a greater understanding of, that boss. This is what that boss is going through. I didn't choose to do that, but I understand because my parents did this. I understand what it feels like. And I think it makes them a better employee, and it will very likely make them a better manager or senior person inside of a company when they have that kind of entrepreneurial mindset, at least.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And all of our kids, they've each gotten their first job that they interviewed for.
Yeah.
Which I know that the world has changed a lot since I was a kid, but that was, that was a challenge for me whenever I first wanted to get my, first quote unquote real job, and it's been fun. Like, one of our daughters got a job, and then her sister was able to get hired just immediately because, you're her sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that reputation followed along. And
beautiful.
So it's been fun.
Thanks,
to see
sis,
that.
For actually being a good employee.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, you said some of the kids have gone on to entrepreneurship. What have they done? Is it in the e-commerce area or other areas?
We've got one who has gone into, she does a lot of freelancing with, she's a self-taught video editor and, filmographer, I guess, is the right term to use. And she has been able to parlay that into some side hustle, some full-time work. Yeah. And she's the one who, when she moved out of the house, she knew where she was going and she had a roommate, but she didn't have a job. Oh, she had a car and she didn't have a job. She didn't know exactly what she was going to be doing, but it was her goal to get to this particular town because she felt like this is the place where I can probably thrive in what I want to do.
Beautiful.
And wow, the courage that she took to do that was, it was awe-inspiring to me, but also I felt like, okay, this is one of our marks of success as parents in doing Absolutely. What we did, is that she felt like, yes, I can do this and I can forge my way. And that was really exciting.
And how many parents would have been, no, don't do that. Go to college, to get the safe job or initially. I mean, that's the age where you want to take risks, because once again, what's the worst thing that can happen? You got to go get a job someplace.
Exactly.
I mean, and for me nowadays, that is the worst thing. I wouldn't want to do it, but it is. Okay. So the worst case scenario is you go find a job while you're building and growing this business, but sounds like she's doing great just by being out there. So, I mean, good on you for actually instilling that in her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell you, as a dad, I thought I was absolutely crazy. She moved like 9 hours away and I thought, what am I doing here? Helping her and letting her do this. But it was the right thing. And obviously we told her you could come back home at any time. And she had that safety net there. And like you said, that was the time for her to take that risk.
Absolutely.
She was able to do some work for us, for our business remotely during that time. And
nice.
And for a little while, she did go out and get a job. And she technically has a job now, but it's one where she works from home. It's a tremendous amount of freedom. And so she's kind of got the best of all worlds
right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 You got a steady money coming in, but you get the freedom to kind of do it when you need to, instead of, you know, getting up and going to work, dying in a cubicle for 9 hours a day. So let's talk a little bit about the sale. So you got to the point where you're like, okay, we're going to sell the business. Was it, you know what, it's the logical thing to do at this point? Was it that, hey, we want to pursue this other avenue? What got you to that decision?
You know, there was a mixture of a lot of different things. Part of the reason why we were doing everything that we're doing was so I could spend more time with my family, with my kids.
Okay.
And as the kids kept moving out of the home, I'm realizing I'm doing all this stuff by myself again. and honestly, things were not as fun as what they used to be. The e-commerce space has changed dramatically in the last 3 years or so. And so there were all of these challenges, these extra risks that we were assuming, that we just decided that we see the handwriting on the wall and we kind of thought, now's the time. Let's get ahead of the game a little bit. And I will say with all of this also that we really feel our calling is what we have stepped into now.
Yeah.
So you mix all that together and you say, hey, let's sell this portion of the business. Let's develop a runway for ourselves. To get into what we really feel like the Lord is calling us to do.
Nice. So let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, you've worked together for 12 years together, 20 years kind of as a side hustle, shifting into that. Let's talk a little bit about the new direction for your company and what you're working on.
Absolutely. And so, as I said, we help married entrepreneurs build the business of their dreams while they're working side by side. And so that is the thing for us, that we have seen couples go into business together thinking, oh, isn't this going to be great? We're going to get to spend all this time together. And we even walked through kind of some rough waters when we first stepped into that, because we came at that with a little bit different expectation of what our day-to-day life was going to look like, of who was going to do what. And we really needed to navigate those things. Fortunately, we have a really strong relationship. We have really strong communication and a strong connection. And so we were able to navigate that, I think, in a fairly smooth way. But we've seen other couples really struggle to figure out how to navigate those waters. And so we have been, you know, given, and we've developed tools that we are able to share with other couples who are wanting to build that life together that they've been dreaming about, and help them to do it in the best possible way, so that not only their business thrives and survives, but that their marriage will thrive. Above all else, I mean, we've said this many times, is that the marriage will thrive no matter what, whatever happens with the business. And we've been through the roller coaster of business ownership. And sometimes we thought it looked like we were going to lose everything and then, you know, pull it out and all that kind of thing. But our relationship has remained really solid through all of it.
Some days you would have given the business away for a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I've tried to fire myself multiple times. I just keep
I'm right there with you, my friend. Yeah. And I got into business because I always had the fear I was going to get fired from a job. So I wanted to be at the top of the food chain, and then I painted myself into a corner where I can't fire myself, which sucks.
Sometimes that does. Those are hard days.
Oh, I know. I'm right there with you.
But when we have got this figured out, how to do this, how do you stay connected? How do you keep your your vision clear so that you know what to do, so that you confidently move forward and go into that path that it looks like the Lord's leading you down. And how do you know that for sure? And so we have a few tools. One is the family mission statement. I mean, that's kind of the foundation for everything that we do in our coaching, is help people to develop that so that they are solid together all the time. It helps them set boundaries. It helps them know what path to move forward on, what to let go, what to say no to, all those things. And am I forgetting anything?
I would say how to divide up roles. That's been, one of the biggest things that we've learned that we need to do. And to continue to revisit all of this also. I think that was another unusual type thing for us. I don't know if it was unusual or not, but something that was unexpected is really the right word, is that, okay, we set all these roles, we got things going, but then everything changes, you know? And so even recently we've had some discussions, I would say as of like 3 days ago, where we're like, okay, maybe we need to change up this role a little bit here because just life has changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that the couples that we work with, we put systems into place, and we give them tools and resources to help them so that they can continue to revisit how they're going to do this business, make sure they're on the same page, make sure they're pulling in the same direction, and working on the business in an effective way.
Well, and I think the interesting thing is, and I guess we didn't have anybody to coach us through this. We just kind of had to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I look at it in our co-working business. You know, I was the one who founded it. I came up with the idea. I really built out a lot of this. And I mean, before my wife got involved, you know, this was a working business, and I was the CEO, and, you know, which I, at that time I referred to as chief everything officer, because I was doing everything. And then I brought her in as we were expanding to the next level. And then as we've continued to expand, you know, I came to the realization that, you know, you can't have two heads of the company.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't believe in co-CEOs, co-presidents, anything like that. Somebody's got to be the boss. Mm-hmm. And what I ended up having to do, at least in my world, was I realized that we're both strong personalities, but I can be even a stronger personality at times and overstep her, or I interject myself into things. So what I've had to do in our world is kind of step back out of the picture a little bit, even gave up the CEO title and said, okay, well, I'm just the founder at this point. And, you know, she really runs the business, and it showed how she was going to be able to blossom from that point. And I, you know, once again, it's sometimes you just run by sense of feel. Unpack a little bit of, you know, okay, I don't think we've ever done a family mission statement, but what some of the other things that you're working with them, you know, your clients on?
Yeah. So the family mission statement is really the foundation, but we also get into things that will affect the marriage. Specifically, we talk a lot about things like, you know, the way that they like to receive and give love. So, you know, if you've ever heard of the love languages, we kind of talk through some of that stuff. We talk about personalities. We talk about roles, as Larry mentioned before, because sometimes the temptation is to take the roles that we fulfill at home and live out at home and just move that into the business. That isn't necessarily the best thing for your business or your marriage. One of the things that we discovered, Larry mentioned he didn't really want to work with people when he came home. And so as we built our team and as we had the warehouse, we realized that although Larry had experience in managing people, it wasn't something he enjoyed doing. And he didn't feel like it was really a gifting that he had. But we discovered, I'm not too bad at that. I was practiced in running a household with five kids, and you know, managing people was my thing. And so when we morphed that into our business, and I took over that part of the business. So discovering what you are good at, discovering what your roles are, that mission statement gives you boundaries and helps you know what's in bounds.
Right. I think I would just add to all of this is that whenever you have an assigned role in the business, you have to have the authority that comes with that role. And so just as a couple of examples, there were some things that Sue was in charge of, and she kept coming to me, asking me questions about it, which I appreciate the fact that she was showing me respect. And, but I would just say, whatever you think is fine. And then she'd come back to me again in a day or two and ask me another question. And at some point I just say, like, wait a minute, hold on a second. Let's be really clear. You have full authority in this area. I kind of don't want to even know.
All right. So just make it happen.
All right. That was, again, you know, I do carry some baggage from my day job, but there's no doubt about it. But that was one of the big things, is I had all of this responsibility and I had no authority in that job. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I want to free people from is, okay, so we're going to divide things up. And then whoever has control of that area has full control of it. Now, obviously, like, for example, I handle the financial end of things for the business. So that doesn't mean that I go out and get a big loan or do something, you know, that's going to dramatically affect us. There are obvious areas where we're going to sit down and talk about that, the big decisions and such. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some overlap in these responsibilities. But whenever I was sourcing products for our e-commerce business, I'm not, you know, asking her about every single wholesale purchase or anything like that, right?
Well, I mean, and it's the same thing that happens in a large corporation. You know, you've got the CFO who's not getting involving the CEO in, you know, hey, we moved some money over to this financial instrument or whatever and all that. Yeah, they don't need to know. I don't need to know that. I need to know you're doing your job. And and when it comes to something big, hey, we're going to have an acquisition or we're going to sell business. Yeah, we both need to be involved in those instances. Mm-hmm. So it makes complete sense.
Yes.
And you know, one of the things that we did that worked really well for us was we, to kind of keep that sense of security for both of us, because I'm probably a bigger risk taker than Larry, but also, you know, there's things that we might get uneasy about or whatever. But one of the things that we did was we gave each other the gift of having veto power. And so when we were going to make a big decision, if one of us didn't want to do it, we didn't do it at that time. And we just didn't move forward on that. It didn't mean never, but it meant not right now. And that was a real gift, because that gave me a lot of security. And I think it gave Larry security that neither one of us is going to just, you know, bulldoze the other one and push forward on something that they're very uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. And navigating that together, using that in a sparing way and only when it really matters, don't let that become a battering ram. You know, don't use that as a tool to fight, you know, personal battles from home at the business, you know, that type of thing. There's some skill to making that work. But by doing that for each other, it has really helped us make sure that we feel like we're always together as we move forward on the path that we're going down.
Well, and I mean, that's, it's because I can bulldoze at times. So, you know, I think we kind of run our lives that way. we kind of run our lives that way. But yeah, if it doesn't make sense for the business, I mean, we've both got an equal vote. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody can overpower the other one. So yeah, it makes complete sense. I love that. So explain to me kind of how you work with a client. So let's say I'm coming to you. Are you typically working with startups? Or are you typically working with more developed businesses?
It's been a combination. And again, because our background is in the e-commerce space, that's where most of our clients have come from so far.
They already knew you. Yeah.
They already knew us. And we had a positions coaches within a certain community. And but we'll work with anybody from any type of business background. So it can be, again, it could be a startup. It could be somebody who's doing a side gig who wants to go full time. We definitely have a lot to teach on that, or it could be somebody with an established business, because what we teach is very foundational. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you've already taken three or four steps and you need to go back and kind of reestablish the foundation a little bit more. We are very comfortable working with people at various levels of their business, because again, we are going to work very directly with the marriage relationship and that foundational level, And then there's just a lot of business discussions that happen along the way. Mm-hmm. And just kind of speaking of that, we love to work within a group cohort type of a setting.
Okay.
Because you get that mastermind aspect of things as well, where, you know, this couple is helping that couple along the way. And so that's our favorite way of working. We do one-on-one also, but we love to have people come into that group setting.
It's that community that a lot of times business owners don't have. It can be very isolating to be a business owner. People who aren't entrepreneurs just don't get it. And there's nothing wrong with it, but they just don't. And so when you get into a group of other people who get you, mm-hmm. who get it when, you know, who are comfortable with the questions like how's business and what's going on and what, you know, what are you thinking about in the future and that type of thing. They understand all the things behind those questions, whereas somebody who's not an entrepreneur doesn't necessarily do it. So that community is huge as well.
Nice. Awesome. Well, what's new? I know this is kind of a new thing anyhow, but what's new in your world? What's the direction of this going?
Really, we're building cohorts all the time. So we're starting a new one soon, which is always going to be the case.
No matter when people are listening or watching this. Yeah.
and so it really is, we still have our fingers in some e-commerce. Mm-hmm. We still do a little bit of that on the side. But we are primarily looking to build this up because this is the thing that there's a movie from eons ago, Chariots of Fire, mm-hmm. that there's a line in that movie that has just stuck with me. Eric Liddell is talking to his sister, who mm-hmm. is unhappy that he's running. She wants him. He was an Olympic runner. She wanted him to go into the mission field like his parents mm-hmm. had been. And he is talking with her and he says, look, God made me for a purpose. And one of those purposes is China. I will go as a missionary, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And if I don't run, that would be holding his gift in contempt. So as Larry and I are working with couples who are working together and building a business side by side, that is the moment that we feel his pleasure in us. It's the most fulfilling thing we do. There's just, I almost can't put it into words. Yeah. About how right it is that we're doing this. And so we're just getting to step into that purpose. And it's been 35 years in the making and we are loving it.
I love it. Congratulations. I think it's
thank
amazing.
You, Jeff. Something else I thought I would just throw in here as well is that whenever we recently, when we started this out, we kind of started testing the waters maybe a little bit over a year ago, something like mm-hmm. that. In 2024. And we came up with the brand name and such. And then we're kind of like, we don't really like that brand name. It doesn't speak to everything that we're doing. And so we rebranded maybe a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we came up with sidebysidebusiness.com. Okay. I went out to get the domain name and I'm like, oh, it's not available. And I look back and I'm like, oh, I've been paying for this thing for 10 years.
Oh, jeez. Who owns this thing? Wait a minute.
Yes.
It's me. And so, you know, entrepreneurs, I don't know if you do this, but I've talked to a lot of entrepreneurs. We have a tendency just to buy domain names because
when you have an idea and it's like, okay, I'll get back to this, but I need the URL right now. Yep.
Yes.
I know. I've got a whole collection of them. And I'm like, okay, that idea was bad. And it's just, I've slowly started to give them away, you know, just give them back to the registrar. I don't need it anymore. Mm-hmm. There was a point I was paying like $300 a month just in URLs of.
I think all of us do that, but but anyway, maybe this is, you know, helpful.
It's
for
perfect.
Me.
It was meant to. It was meant to be. That is awesome. Well, let's transition into the fast five questions. So this will be fun because I haven't had a couple on in a while. So we'll have fun with this. All right. So you guys wake up. The business is gone. You have to start all over from ground zero. You have $500, a laptop computer, a place to live, food and clothing, and apparently a ton of toilet paper. What are you going to do first?
Yeah. Well, you know, I just shared with you about how much what we're doing now is just what we're made to do. So yeah. I would just go right back into building this up. I'd be trying to build up the email list. I would be doing everything I could to get on podcasts to let people know what we're doing and build this back up. But as we do that, I would imagine we would do some other things.
Right. Because of our background, I appreciate you allowing us to continue on with our experience and such. but yeah, because of our experience, especially selling on eBay, I think we'd start reaching out to people and start selling things on consignment.
Okay.
So we wouldn't have to invest any money in inventory and then just split the profits with people on the back end. I think we could generate some fairly good income pretty quickly that way.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I love that. All right. Second question. What's the biggest business mistake you've ever made?
Oh, boy. There's a list of them, and we've already talked about some of them.
You just have to pick one here, but yeah.
Yes. And I would say the biggest thing that we have regretted in the past is going into debt for our business. And being on a cash flow negative business model that we had before, that was another kind of reason why we wanted to get away from that, because it's really hard to avoid debt in the e-commerce space. Hmm. And every time it was just this big burden that we carried until we could
climb out
from that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love it. What's a book that you'd recommend for our audience?
A huge book for us was Profit First by Mike Mikowitz. When we read that book, it changed the way we handled our money in our business, and it was huge for us. So I always recommend that one.
Mikey's a good friend. So I will tell you, he saved my business. Literally within the first year or two of my business, I was introduced, or I had a friend who was a Profit First bookkeeper, and I hired her, and I couldn't afford her, but the interactions we had around Profit First and all that saved my business. I would not be in this business had I not gotten that book. And she gave it to me because she's like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. Read this and see what you think. Would you recommend that I do this? And I read it and I was like, holy crap, that's the problem my business has, you know, running through the exercises. So yeah, awesome book. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic. And I would add another financial book, and that's called Simple Money, Rich Life by Bob Lodick. Mm-hmm. It is on budgeting, and a lot of it does deal with the personal aspect of things, which I think most of us need a little bit of help with that. But he takes it to another level, and he talks a lot about not just saving all you can, but he talks a lot about giving and giving generously. And he talks about earning more. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of a missed aspect of things, just the responsibility that we literally have to earn as much as we possibly can. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And combine that with Profit First. You earn more and you actually get to keep more as a result of it. So awesome. What's a tool that you guys use in your business every day that you might recommend?
So this may be a little bit unusual, and we've talked about it already, but our family mission statement.
Yeah.
We have really over the years, we've developed ways to use that more practically.
Okay.
And so it helps us to make decisions. It helps us to say no more often. We say no to good things so that we've got the time and energy for the excellent things. And recently now with the advent or the becoming more common with AI and ChatGPT, we've come up with some prompts that we can use, that we plug that family mission statement in there, and we have these prompts like, hey, here's this new opportunity that's come up. Does this fit with who we are?
Nice.
And it's just incredible how helpful ChatGPT has been in helping us to filter through some of these decisions.
Sure. That's also one that I'd recommend a Grok for, Grok 3.
Okay.
The thing I found, people know on the show, I'm a huge ChatGPT fan, but I've learned that when it comes to something like that, running it through Grok is such an analysis tool and it's an incredible analysis tool. Perplexity is the same thing. It's a great analysis tool, and it's like, it takes it to that next level, because chat will go, it always goes to the easiest example. So it's not going to go super in depth. Grok will go like beyond belief in depth, as well as Perplexity does. in those cases. So, you know, creating the document, let's say on chat, and then running it through another AI is kind of a cool thing that I've been experimenting with. That's really cool. And I would run it through both and see what the answers are that you get, which is kind of fun. It doesn't cost anything to use Grok.
Exactly. And one of the things I've appreciated about chat in doing this, so I would love, I can't wait to see what Grok will do, is that it goes through the analysis or whatever for you. And then it asks you some gut check questions.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm like, oh, okay. You're prompting me to think even more about it.
Well, and so it's getting better at that. It used to not be able to do that before because you had to give it permission. So, you know, one of the things I always tell people is one of I spent thousands of dollars learning this, which is the easiest answer, but always with any AI, just at the end, you know, when you put the prompt in and then say, what questions do you have for me before we get started? That gives it permission to ask all of the clarifying questions. And you'll be, as soon as you do that, you get this laundry list of, okay, well, what's the audience? You know, if I'm doing a marketing piece, what's the audience? How long do we want to make it? Blah, 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 blah. You know, what's the tone we want to have for it and all that? Which you assume it knows, and it doesn't. It's like an employee. It's like, well, why didn't you do what I told you to do? Because you didn't tell me what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah. But yeah, I think if you even ask it that extra question, you'll be amazed. But it is getting better at knowing that, hey, maybe I need to ask some clarifying questions here and not just like the old version used to be, you know, it was just trying to get to the point where it was getting to the end as quickly as possible. And now it's a little bit more thoughtful as a result. So very cool. Last question. And I think I know the answer for this, but what is your definition of freedom?
Oh, definitely being able to pick your schedule. You know, that's something that I've really always had since we had kids with homeschooling and everything. Yep. I really was free to do that. And then when Larry was able to come home and we could determine what we were going to do when, I mean, obviously there's things you have to get done, but you get to decide how and when you do them. And I absolutely love that.
Isn't it cool to like in the middle of the afternoon go, you know what? I'm stopping working for a little bit.
Yeah.
Just, and I don't have to ask anybody's permission. I just stop working.
Exactly.
You know, and I might, a lot of cases I might come back and work for another couple hours in the evening, but you know, my wife and I, since the pandemic, I mean, the funny thing is we run a public space where people come to, and you know, during the pandemic nobody was coming in, so we shifted our schedule from 9 to 4 every day. And you know, because that was when we were having to clean everything and all that. Well, after the pandemic ended, and we were like every other Friday we would close at noon, and after the pandemic we were sitting there one day and we're like, why are we closing at 5? Nobody's here. I mean, you know, the only people that are here have access to the building, and they all have access to our cell phones. So if something happens in that hour, they can call us, and we live just a few minutes away. But, you know, I mean, we shifted to 9 to 4 every day, Monday through Friday, or Monday through Thursday, 9 to noon on Friday. That's it. That's all we work here. Perfect. Now, I work at home some, but it's nice having that flexibility, and it hasn't hampered the business at all. We, in fact, make more money now as a result of that. So.
That's fantastic.
Nice. So very cool. Well, folks, you guys are just awesome. I'm super excited for this kind of new venture, new old venture for you. If somebody's interested in learning, you know, somebody's got a spouse that they're working with and they're trying to figure this stuff out, what's the best place to get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, we'd love to give a free gift to your listeners here. We have a set of Connect cards is what we call them. And basically, I think it's like 50 some odd cards that come in this. And each day you can just choose one of those cards. It's got a question on it that will just spur a little bit of a conversation. These can be really short conversations, though, because sometimes you've only got a couple of minutes. Right. But it's really important that husband and wife connect on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So we would encourage people to get these Connect cards, and you can get those by going to sidebysidebusiness.com/connect.
Nice. Very cool. Well, we'll make sure we put that in the show notes, both on YouTube as well as down in the show notes for the YouTube or for the podcast shows. Guys, thank you for joining us. We really, truly appreciate having you on here. It's a fun conversation back and forth, and it's amazing how parallel our courses have been here. So,
Jeff, thank you so much for having us on. It's really been a delight to be here and be able to talk a little bit about our story and hopefully share some good ideas for people so that they can connect it even deeper and build their marriage.
Yes, thanks so much for having us.
Awesome. Thank you very much, folks. You got an opportunity to get a free gift. Make sure you take them up on that. Subscribe to the channel because we're doing these and we will be, like I said, expanding the show and kind of splitting it into two sides. So make sure that you're keeping an eye out for that because we're going to have a different publishing schedule for the second show. So thanks a lot. And we will see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.